Would you take your Bible this morning, please, and turn to the book of James? And I want to share with you this morning a passage of Scripture that has changed my life and has helped me through so many of the challenges that I have faced in life. James chapter 1, and you follow along with me, please, as I read. And of course, you'll see some of the notes on screen, or perhaps if you're in a connection group, have those in your hand by now as well. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. This morning I would like to speak to you on this subject, reaching forth with patience. Reaching forth with patience. Our theme this year is reaching forth, and we need patience as we run our race in 2020. And so let's pray, and then open up God's Word and learn how to reach forth with patience today. Father in heaven, I pray now that you would bless everyone watching this broadcast. God, would you comfort hearts? Would you calm our spirits? Would you help us in this very moment to have the patience and the wisdom that comes from above? Fill us with your Spirit as we listen now to your Word today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, these past few weeks, we have certainly experienced unprecedented circumstances, not only in our country at large, but in our community as well. And it's not only been a perplexing and difficult time with respect to COVID-19, but also it poses for us a great opportunity to grow spiritually and to effectively reach our community with the gospel of Jesus Christ. You see, throughout the centuries, Christianity has been challenged. Christians have suffered and been persecuted even for their faith. I think of the first century Roman Emperor Nero and how he blamed the burning of Rome on the Christian people and how they suffered. And so it was that the letters of the Gospels were written to encourage and to comfort God's people during those first and second centuries as they were persecuted by the Roman Empire. God, throughout the years, has comforted our hearts by His written Word. Now, I am convinced that in the next few weeks, as we face the tragic situation of the coronavirus, that each of us also face an opportunity to grow deeper in our walk with God and in our confidence in the power of the Holy Spirit working in our lives. And I see this morning in the book of James a great comfort. James, as you know, was the half-brother of our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus was conceived of the Holy Ghost. But James, the half-brother of our Lord, became the pastor of the church at Jerusalem. And he's writing with what some refer to as a pastor's heart to encourage the Christians during their time of difficulty and suffering. He's writing particularly to the Jewish Christians who were scattered about Asia Minor, suffering yet reaching, struggling yet believing, cast down but not destroyed, and filled with faith because of the great God that lived within them. Trials were not hypothetical for them. They were real. They were everyday occurrences. But God was with them, and God is with us this morning. As we look at the passage before us today, there are three gifts that are provided for us as believers. These are gifts and blessings that are not necessarily known by those without Christ. We're going to learn this morning that in our time of trial and difficulty, God is going to provide us, those of us who seek for Him, those of us who reach for Him, He's going to provide us first with understanding. Secondly, He's going to provide us with patience. And thirdly, he's going to provide us with wisdom. And so if you need understanding today, and if you need patience, and if you need wisdom, then lend me your ear and lend God your heart for just a moment as we learn from James chapter 1. We learn, first of all, that God is calling us as his children to reach forth with understanding. And what is it that he wants us to understand? Notice in verse 2 of our text, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptation." God says, I want you to understand some things. I want you to understand by taking an accounting of what's going on. An accounting. Notice that word in verse 2. "My brethren, count it all joy." God said, I want you to count. I want you to consider. I want you to think. Now, let me tell you what I love about Sunday. Sunday is an opportunity for us to pull away from the regular work schedule and the media frenzy and to consider God's perspective on what's going on in our life right now. God says, I want you to consider this. I want you to make an accounting of it. I have found that during trials in our life, we really come down to what's most important. We consider what's most important. And I know that there are perhaps many questions and needs on men's hearts, but today we have the opportunity to count it, to count this time all joy. Sometimes we might take for granted basic things. We might take for granted some of the basic groceries or household supplies until we see the lines of people trying to buy them. And we take a time like this to realize, you know, I could be more thankful. I have been truly blessed. He tells us in verse 2, count it all joy. All of this that's going on in your life, consider it for a moment. Your health, your finances, your job, the inconveniences, the challenges, all of these things, God says, there's purpose in every one of these things. And God says, I want you to find gladness in these times of difficulty. In 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 9, he said to the Apostle Paul, my grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. And Paul said, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. In other words, Paul said, I've made an accounting of this. And I understand that these trials that weaken me, they actually strengthen me spiritually. While I don't understand or while I'm pressed about with difficulty, they have caused me to seek God and to be filled with God's Spirit and to grow in faith. And for that, I can be joyful. For the fact that God is at work in our lives today, we can count it all joy. Now, normally our reaction when we see long lines at the markets or the stock market going up and down or people cursing on the highways, we don't normally find joy in that immediately. But it is true that through the testing times, we can build a testimony and we can grow deep in our walk with God. There was a man that was talking with a friend of his who was a farmer. Both men were farmers, and they were talking about their crops, their bean crops to be particular. And as they talked about the crop, one of the farmers said, my crops this year are very vulnerable. Even a little time of drought will ruin my entire crop. And his friend said, well, why is that? And he said, well, he said, we've had such frequent rain that now that it's become dry, my beans, all of the root system are very surface. The roots are very much toward the top of the soil. And now that we've had just a little bit of dryness, I'm afraid that if we have a short drought, I'll lose the entire crop, because when we had so much rain, the roots never really developed deep into the soil. And may I say to some of you this morning that in your life, you've had so much of a good blessing. You've had your job and you've had your health and the stock market going up for 8 or 10 years and blessing after blessing, but sometimes prosperity does not create deep-rooted Christians. And God says during these times of difficulty, I want you to count it as joy because I'm going to deepen your walk with me. I'm going to teach you how to pray. I'm going to teach you how to trust. I'm going to teach you how to believe that I am able. And so the way we understand the trial is by accounting where we are, that God has a purpose in this. He's going to deepen my walk through this. We must understand by accounting. And we must also understand, secondly, with assurance. God says in verse number 2 that the trial of your faith worketh patience. In other words, God has a purpose, and you can be assured. Whatever's happening in your life today, there's no mistake with it. Acts chapter 11 and verse 23, who when he came and had seen the grace of God was glad and exhorted them that with purpose of heart they should cleave unto the Lord. The church has always been exhorted to cleave to God. This is his purpose for us this morning, that we would cleave to God. And while others are frantic, that this community would see a group of people who have the calmness of God, that we are cleaving to our God and trusting in him every step of the way. The Bible is very clear that we will fall into temptation. Notice what it says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into temptation. In other words, we can be assured that these times will come. These difficulties will come. Different kinds of temptation. Now think about just the health trials. And we're facing a very difficult one now. But in 2004, there was SARS virus. In 2008, there was the avian virus. In 2010, there was the swine flu. In 2012, there was the MERS virus. In 2014, the Ebola virus. 2016, the Zika virus. The Ebola virus, 2018. Now, COVID-19. God says there's going to be diverse temptations. Here are 8 different names, 10 different names of trials and temptations. God says there's going to be a lot of different kinds of them. But these tests have a purpose, and that God wants us to have understanding and to reach forth fully expecting that trials will come, but believing that God is there and God has a purpose every step of the way. And so let us not be as those who have no hope, but let us rejoice in that there is always hope in our God. Reach forth with understanding. God says, I want you to have an understanding and a perspective that someone without me would not know. But notice, secondly, he calls us to patience. He says, I want you to reach forth with patience. Now notice this, if you would, in verse 3, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. This trial that we're experiencing, God said, I have a purpose for it. I want this to bring patience into your life. God says, I want you, first of all, to have confidence in this trial. Notice in verse 3, it says, knowing this, to be sure, to be confident. Romans 8:28, what does it say? And we hope? No. Does it say, and we think? No. Romans 8:28, what does it say? Say it with me. And we know that all things work together for good to them that are called, to them that love God and are the called according to his purpose. And so God says, now I want you to have an assurance that you can know that the trying of your faith has a purpose and that I'm going to be with you every step of the way. And it's interesting to me. God says this has a purpose. This trial has a purpose for your life. Now, I think about the news that we've heard this week. And there are people that it seems like they're emphasizing something that is important, and that is the testing for the coronavirus. Testing, they say. And there's been great emphasis on testing, testing, testing. Well, let me tell you something. God has put a great emphasis on testing. And God is interested in testing you and me so that our faith can be found whole and strong. A faith that cannot be tested, cannot be trusted. And God is allowing our faith to be tested so that we can grow with a greater patience and confidence in him. In fact, notice in verse 3, it says, the trying of our faith worketh patience. The word worketh means it accomplishes something in your life. These trials are not to be wasted. They are to be received with an understanding that God is at work and He is working patience in our life. Romans 5:3, and not only so, but we glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulations worketh patience. You see, the Lord wants this trial to bring the best out of Lancaster Baptist Church. Satan wants to bring out our worst. Satan wants to see Christians that don't watch live stream or don't witness or fail to give. Satan wants to see the church hurt and destroyed. But God said, I want to bring the best out of you through this time. Oh, just this past few days, we've been meeting with our pastoral staff and adjusting even our Easter outreach and thinking of ways that we can serve our community, whether it's showing them that love works and giving a cup of coffee to a commuter or a bag of jelly beans to a medical worker. Various ideas are already forming, and we're saying, God, we're not necessarily going at the pace that we thought for this resurrection season, for this Easter Sunday. So then show us how that we can patiently stay in the race, getting the gospel out. So many illustrations in the Bible. I think of Joseph when he was 17 years old. His brothers attempted to kill him. And 13 years later, through patience, Joseph became the most powerful man in all of the world. Joseph said in Genesis 50:20, but as for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass as it is this day, to save much people alive. Oh, listen, there are those that may laugh at the difficulties of the United States of America. They may laugh at the church, and they may think it to be an evil thing that is upon us. But God will work something good from this. We must be patient and trust in Him. The world is looking today for people whose faith is not merely spoken, but also proven. And I want to tell you, friend, member of this great church, Lancaster Baptist Church, friends that are watching by way of LBC Live, TV. Can I tell you this morning that there are people watching you and they're looking to see patience and confidence in you, and may they see Christ in us. The Bible says in 1 Peter 1:7 that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. And so we can have confidence in these trials. And we also must continue in these trials. There is a continuance in the trials. Notice verse 4. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Now here we see Pastor James, and he's encouraging the church, never, ever quit. Winston Churchill often spoke those famous words, never, never, never quit. And how we need to be reminded of this today, that we must continue. Proverbs chapter 3, may I remind you of it this morning? May you say it with me if you know the verse. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path. Now look at your Bible for a moment, James chapter 1 and verse 4. Notice what it says. But let patience have her perfect work. Now here we see that we are called upon to let God do His perfect or complete work in us. Let patience have her perfect work. The connotation of this is that if I do not allow God's work to become complete in my life, then I will not be as strong as He desires me to be in this life. God wants me to look to Him and to trust Him and to patiently and confidently allow His work to completely flow through me. Now, this is a decision that I must make. I must decide to let His work continue. Let me illustrate it this way. I have in my hand here today some weights. Now, I don't know how much. I'm going to guess this is about maybe 300 pounds. What do you think? About 300 pounds? Now, this weight, if I take this weight and if I hold it and if I work with it and I let it have its perfect work, maybe an instructor would say to me, I want you to do 3 repetitions of 10 rounds each. Now, let it have its work. Don't put it down. If you stop after just a few times, you'll never build the muscle that you need. Sadly, many Christians come to a point in their life. Their job is uncertain. Their health is threatened. Someone's not nice to them. There's a catastrophe, a national emergency, as we see now. And sometimes people say, you know, God, I've trusted you, but things haven't gone the way I've wanted them to go. And I'm not going to put up with this anymore. And they put down their weight. And they say, I'm not going to lift that anymore. I'm not going to be faithful anymore. It's too hard to be a Christian. It's too hard to be faithful to God. Well, may I remind you that when you fail to continue during trials, then you will not be the strong Christian that God intends you to become as a result of the trials. And so while this may be a difficult few weeks, let's take the weight and let's allow God's perfect work to be done in us so that we will be the strong church, the strong Christian that He desires us to be as a result of this time. We must have confidence today. We must continue in this day. May I say, thirdly, that there will be a cleansing in your life during this time. Christians tend to pray more during times of difficulty. Look at verse 4. It says, wanting nothing. God says that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. In other words, the goal is maturity. That there would be a spiritual perfection, which means a maturity during this time. 1 Peter 5 and 10. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. Now, we want God in our trials to do a comforting job, but He wants to do a conforming job. We want God to take away all the pain, all the inconvenience, but God says, no, I'm going to cleanse you and purify you, and I'm going to conform you to the image of my Son through this time. And so He calls us today as a church. Pastor James, the Holy Spirit of God says, I want you to reach forth with understanding. Count this. Consider this. I want you to reach forth with patience. Let me have my way in your life, God says. This perfect and complete work must come to pass. But then notice finally this morning that we are to reach forth with wisdom. Now, I don't know about you, I need wisdom. I find that I have the ability to do some really dumb things if I don't ask God to help me, if I don't seek Him for wisdom. I have prayed nearly every day of my life since becoming the pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church. God, give me wisdom today. And here's the verse from which I derive that lesson. Look at verse 5. As we close this morning. And if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally. Oh, I've asked God for wisdom as it has pertained to the needs of my family and children. God, give me wisdom. I don't want to break the spirit of this child, but I see a strong will here. I've asked wisdom for the church family this week. Oh, God, help me to know how to have the service, when to have the service, how to convey the need to the church family. What do we do with the school? And what about this matter or that matter? Here we see that we must have wisdom. Now, why do we say that? Notice quickly, first of all, our need for it. If any of you lack wisdom, every one of us need wisdom today. We need wisdom with our families. We need wisdom in this current situation. God says, I want you to ask me for it. I want you to desire it and ask me. Matthew chapter 7, He says it this way. Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth. And to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Listen, you've got a Father up in heaven who's waiting to hear from you. And He says, listen, just ask me. I want to help you in this time of difficulty. So our need is very, very present. We need God's power, God's provision, and most of all, God's wisdom. Notice secondly, our need, yes, but notice secondly, God's provision. Now in verse 5, He says, if we will ask that God will give to all men liberally. Proverbs 2 and 6, for the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of His mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. God said, I'm going to provide the wisdom for you. Now, what do you need wisdom for today? Do you need wisdom about your children? Are you concerned about maybe how to help them? Do you need wisdom for your work situation? Is there someone that needs wisdom, perhaps, for dealing with an interpersonal relationship that you're responsible for? Can I encourage you, don't go into that meeting without praying and seeking God. Seek His face. Find His wisdom. And may I remind you this morning as we reach forth that the church must reach forth with wisdom, and that this is a moment for us to be the church. You see, the church does more than just assemble. Yes, we assemble, and we will assemble. But the church also gives and loves and serves and worships and believes and prays. And this is a great opportunity in the next few weeks for us to be the church, not just in the building, but everywhere we go, to be a church reaching forth with understanding, reaching forth with patience, reaching forth with wisdom. And as the world is crying out for answers, we'll not be stuttering, but we should be ready always to give an answer to everyone that asketh of the reason of the hope that is within us. And there may be someone that you work with or someone that you know, and they're wondering, what's going on in the world? Is this the end of the world? And how can these things be happening? And I believe that we can say to them, as the Apostle Paul in 2 Timothy 1:12, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know in whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Can I tell you something, my friend, that if you have Jesus Christ in your heart, that nothing can frighten you. Oh, listen, not even eternity is frightening to you, because you know what you've committed unto him. That there has been a time in your life when you said, Jesus, I know I'm a sinner, and I want to commit my life, my soul to you, my eternal keeping to you. Lord, I want to trust in you to be my Savior and take me to heaven someday. Paul said, I know whom I have believed. May I ask you a question this morning? Who are you trusting for the keeping of your soul? Do you know that if you were to die today, that heaven would be your home? Have you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you believe that he is able? Listen, this church cannot keep your soul safekeeping. The baptistry cannot keep your soul safekeeping. No priest or pastor can, but Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. If you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, may I encourage you this morning, open your heart and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you can be saved even today. For all of us who would confess that we are sinners can come to the Lord, and whosoever may call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And if you are saved, then this is no time to sit down or go back. This is the time to reach forth, reaching forth with understanding, reaching forth with patience, and reaching forth with wisdom that comes from above. And as you do that during this time of testing, because of your faithfulness in the test, God will give you a testimony, and your life will make a difference in an hour where difference makers are needed. May God help you to reach forth with understanding.